there. Welcome from Western Washington. My name is Frankie.
And I'm Sydney, and you're listening to The Liberal Couch.
Thank you. Thank you very much. And welcome to our second episode here. And the goal of Liberal Couch is Sydney and myself sit on the couch. We drink a beer. Sometimes she's high. And we talk about different topics. We kind of honed our show in based on the first episode. And we're pretty much going to stick to like one topic and talk about that and try and talk it to death. And probably not have music unless we get some special music in.
We were told that it may
upset some people.
Not upset some people, but it may turn some people off because, mm-hmm. you know, our taste of music, or your taste of music,
yes, rather, mine,
isn't really necessarily what everybody likes. It's
right.
Not pop music.
Right.
So
what we do is we talk about different things, like possibly family. We talk about politics. Talk about beer, like we're going to talk about tonight. Social issues. Like I said, we're based in Western Washington. Northwest. The really Northwest. We are really in the Northwestern.
But is it the Northwest?
It's the Northwesternmost area of the country. Yes, the Northwest. And we are in Redneckville. We literally live in a town that is full of rednecks. And we're liberal, and we've got a bunch of liberal friends, too. It is difficult sometimes dealing with the Trumpisms and Trump stickers and signs and everything.
And you know, it's funny, growing up here, I always kind of like felt like everybody must think the same as me.
Mm-hmm.
Like I was really surprised when I found out that people weren't all, I mean, I don't know that liberal was a word that I used to identify with growing up, but I was surprised when I found out people didn't have the same views as me.
Yeah, when I grew up, on the East Coast, and it was different. My parents didn't even talk politics. They just discussed, actually, they discussed nothing. I don't even know if we discussed current events. We did eat dinner together every night. I mean, so we had that going. But, you know, I was like 40 years old before my mother even knew I smoked pot all the time when I was younger. So I don't think she knew what was going on. You know, so it was different in my house. Politics, the only thing I knew about politics was my mother said that her father, who was an immigrant, told her that you vote Democrat and you vote down the line. My mother didn't vote, though. So she just passed that little tidbit of knowledge on, and that's how I originally started voting. But
and every time, too. Every time you said that you have voted. Every time since you turned 18, you've voted every chance. I have too now. Mm-hmm. I mean, I was, you took me my first time to go vote at 18 years old. And, you know, I'm proud of that. I'm proud that I've, you know, done that. Every chance I got, no matter how small the election, it may have just been, you know, voting to
council people or
a council person,
school budget, everything.
Every
always,
time.
Yep, always voted for everything. All right. So we're going to open our beer here. And Sydney, you can tell us a little bit about the beer. It is from Lewitt Brewing.
This was a special release brewed to commemorate May 18th, 1980 eruption of Mount St. Helens. Truman's Goddamn American Stock Ale is a tribute to those who defiantly stand their ground in the face of adversity.
Yes, this is ale aged in whiskey barrels.
So I'm looking forward to it.
Yes, it's not my favorite. I mean, I've drank plenty of whiskey.
Oh, 10% ABV. Too.
Oh, yeah. And it has a date, too. It says, meant to be aged in the bottle, best after 5/18/2017. So, you can smell some whiskey in there.
Yeah, I could smell it the moment you opened it.
Oh, yeah. It's a darker beer. But we're going to drink some of this.
Delish.
Probably is. All right.
Wow, that's
you're
definitely gonna hate this one.
I've drank thousands of shots of whiskey in my life, but
it doesn't really.
But that's how I drank it, with shots. It went down and it was done.
Yeah, you don't sip it.
No, but here, cheers.
You're not sophisticated. Like
let's try it. It's got a good scent though. I mean, if you like whiskey.
Oh, wow. You can taste the whiskey.
Oh wow, that's why it says to age it for at least a year, because it is very, it's kind of,
wow,
kind of,
And melon was out a lot at the end. It's like sweet on.
Yeah, it really is. It's very sweet.
Yeah.
But you get that whiskey shot right at the very beginning.
Yeah, the burning in your
throat.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's funky. It's different for sure.
Yeah. All right. So anyhow, we should have done the drum roll for our beer. We're a little late on that. Anyhow.
Well, we're still getting used to the sound effects.
So tonight, we're going to discuss something that is near and dear to both of our hearts. Last episode, we talked about Twitter banning and social media and stuff. But tonight, we're going to talk about politics and family. Now, there's the old adage, the old saying that, you know, generally with family, you don't talk about politics or religion. But with us, in the age of Trump, and even before that, it changed.
I mean, it's not even 45 that's gotten us talking about it.
It was 44
in our
too.
Personal, well, yeah, it was President Obama.
And actually before that, it was 43. It was Bush too.
Yeah. Well, okay. So I remember growing up, and I don't remember specifically talking. I remember my father going to the Grange and voting. I don't necessarily remember. I don't think we ever went into the voting booth with him. So I don't ever remember that. But I do remember kind of talking. I assume he voted all the time. I don't think my mother ever voted. She may have, but I don't remember her voting like I remember my dad voting. And, you know, I don't remember really discussing things, but I remember when Bush won, Bush W. won, and I remember how disappointed I was, especially when he won the second time. And I was on the college campus at the time. As most people were. Yeah. And I remember being on the college campus, and it's, you know, in this small town, a lot of conservatives. And I think that was like the first time probably that I really realized that there was people who didn't think the same way as I did, which, I don't know, maybe college is kind of typically the time that you find out that there's people who feel differently. But I remember seeing people celebrating, and I was going, what on earth are you celebrating for? Like, this is not something to be happy about. You know, there was just that, that me being naive, I guess.
Well, a lot of times colleges are liberal areas. That's why.
Well, it's a community college.
Right.
So I'm sure that, you know, had something to do with it, with the area we were in.
Community college in a redneck area. So that our county is red. So it is probably part of the reason why. Now, like I said, my parents didn't vote until I was an adult. That was like the first time they voted, and it was well after I was an adult. So that was nothing to do with my family. Mine was a whole different thing.
Right. But we have always made the effort.
Yes.
And discussed being sure with our children to make the effort to have those discussions.
Well, the kids voting
at the dinner
table changed things too. Kids voting, they used to have that in school where the kids would vote in class, and it would instill that whatever it's called there. That you go to vote. You go on election day, you go and vote, because it's not a holiday here, so.
As it should be.
It should be a holiday, but everybody wanted to have it off.
Or done on a weekend or, you know, something.
People still have to work. That's the problem. But if you had, like in Washington, where you had mail-in ballots, then nobody has an excuse.
But you know what is sad is our turnout rate is still so low.
And it's a mail-in, or you just go drop it in a box.
Yes, and you don't have to pay. You don't have to pay for the stamp. It says
you used
please,
to.
It says please place postage.
Right.
But when it gets, the government will pay for it.
Right.
If you don't put a stamp on there.
Right.
So, I mean, if it's, you know, it's got to be in today and you don't have a stamp and you figure, oh, it's not worth the vote, just put it in the mailbox.
Yeah.
Fill it out. Put it in the mailbox.
Yeah, this is apropos with stories coming up with the election just a few weeks away. Not as big of an election as it was last year. But anyhow, do you want to start your stories, or you want me to tell mine, since mine goes back further?
Go ahead. You go ahead.
Yeah, we're going back to the Bush, George W. days. And again, like I said, I was always a Democrat. So I had voted for Clinton and whoever, Mondale and whoever the hell else was running back then. And Kerry and all those people. But W won. and my brother. Like I said, we didn't grow up talking politics, so we never discussed politics at all. My brother started to go to the dark side. He started to to spout, you know, redneck, racist, you know, Republican themes. And it wasn't until he was older. He was in his 30s. And then he started to watch Fox News on a regular basis, to the point where you'd go to his house and Fox News was on. And that was
every time.
And that was the only thing on.
Every time.
And he would spout these things and he would tell these things. And it got to the point where, you know, it was just, you know, I would just tell him to shut up because I couldn't take it anymore. He would tell me these things over and over.
You tolerated quite a bit, if I'm
did.
Being honest.
And the first thing that really got me was, he was Bush's, he loved Bush. Bush was out
don't
of,
we all?
Bush was out of office. Yes, we do love Bush. Bush was out of office. And suddenly, you know, like 6 months, a year later, he's like, oh, you know, I really couldn't take that guy. I'm like, what are you talking about? You loved Bush. You loved Bush for 8 years. And he's like, oh, no, I didn't like Bush. I'm like, what are you talking about? How do you think that I don't remember this? And he swore because by the end of Bush's presidency, he was not the most well-liked or respected president, unlike today where almost anybody in the country would take him as president.
I would.
Exactly. But at that
Talk
time...
Talk about bring Obama back.
Exactly. I mean at that time, right. He was not a well-liked president. And my brother had understood that by then and realized that he was on the wrong side of history there, so he changed his tune and said that he never liked Bush. He just swore it. My brother also was a Trump fan years ago. He had read books about Trump. He had told me about Trump, you know, being a survivor coming back from bankruptcies and everything. And I'm like, oh, you know, that's cool that he was able to do that. And
yeah, you're gonna talk about the other side of the bankruptcies.
Yeah,
you know, the people who are like me and you and your brother who lost.
Yeah, thousands of people that lost their businesses and everything.
Exactly.
Because he wouldn't pay them.
Exactly.
But, and you know what? And during the election, some stories like that came out. But why aren't there more? Why aren't more of these stories coming out? Because you know there are thousands of these stories. He's been sued over 3,000 times. How many people are sued that many times? Come on. Anyhow, so what happens is I go, we go to my parents or to my brothers for Christmas. It's probably about 5 years ago now, and he starts spouting this shit, and it's over and over and over, and I finally just snapped. I snapped, and Michelle can tell you that I snapped.
Oh, yeah, you snapped. I don't know that may have been one of the first times I've seen you snap like that.
I just was swearing up and down, told him to F off and everything.
The veins are popping out of your forehead.
And I told Michelle, I said, let's go. We're leaving now.
So I packed the baby up.
Did you?
Yeah, I started packing the baby up. He was just...
So who convinced me to stay?
He was an infant. I think your aunt. Your aunt, yeah.
Maybe. Somebody convinced me to stay, and it calmed down from there. But that was the beginning of the end. Because then New Year's came. Oh, no, it wasn't even that year. It was the following year. No, that was that. New Year's came.
Yeah.
And well, and my I called my brother on New Year's Eve, you know, and over after 12 o'clock. And he didn't get my call or he didn't receive my call or take it. Didn't call me back the next day or anything. So I'm like, all right, whatever.
Yeah.
And I called him one other time, like within a week or so, and he didn't call me back. Then later that year, we stopped talking. And later that year, some stuff happened with my mother. And that was it. It was just because of politics. It was because of Republican politics and Fox News. My brother just stopped talking to me. And I haven't talked to him since, and it's been like 5 years.
Yeah.
And I don't care at this point. It's, you know, if it's that important now, because I did go on Facebook to look last year when Trump was running, and for sure he's on Facebook loving Trump's ass, licking his dick, and I knew it because he had been a Trump fan back in the early 2000s. I knew that he had to be a Trump supporter, and for sure he was. And he fits every one of the stereotypes, misogynist, racist, everything. So it makes sense.
Yeah.
But yes, this is, you know, you say that you can't talk politics and religion and all that. with family, and you probably shouldn't, but when it comes to something like
this, Why shouldn't you?
Because people are afraid that you're never going to talk to your family. Well, okay. If that's what happens, then that's what happens.
See, this is what I've never understood the dead end where your family is concerned. You know, you can't rock the boat. You can't disagree. You can't whatever, because you're family. I think family is who you choose to make it. And if your family is going to act like assholes, you should A, call them out on being assholes, and B, if it is for your mental well-being, you need to cut the string. Yes, I've had to cut strings. And honestly, it's just sad to me that people put so much, like, you have to be able to say, you know, I can't do this. I don't care that you're my cousin. You know, it can't have that strong of a mind that if you're going to act like an asshole and I can't call you out on it, that, you know, we still have to be friendly to each other. Because, I mean, I think in general, being a decent human being is important. But when somebody's treating you like garbage and it's affecting your mental health.
Okay. Cousin, brother, aunt. Why don't we talk about your Facebook experiences?
Yeah. I mean, I've honestly, people and by people, I mean my mother and, you know, other family, distant family members, too. My mom thinks that I just delete people randomly. Like, I just get mad and delete somebody. And it's so far from the truth. Like, it takes so much of my mental health to finally be able to say, that's it. I'm not putting up with their shit anymore. Like, this aunt just comes out of my Facebook post and just says nasty things just to be nasty, really.
You've got two aunts that have done stuff like that.
Yeah. Well, the one blocked me. The one I said I would never block and delete, no matter how much. She would come on to my Facebook and tell me to cut my son's hair. I mean, she was just ridiculous. Like,
yeah, I'm not going to quit her. She's a nice woman, and I don't know what she gets into this stuff.
And I said that I would not, I wasn't going to ever delete her, specifically because when you had cancer, she was the only family member that reached out and said, you know, here's some help. I know it's not much. You know, whatever I can do outside of this, let me know. And right. I said, because of that reaching out, that I would tolerate far more than mm-hmm. I probably should have.
Right.
And then when I tried to call her out on her privilege, she said to me, I was poorer than you were growing up. And it's like, okay, you don't get what white privilege is.
You're also 40 years older than me.
Well, yes. But her, I believe what she thought was she knew that we didn't have the, you know, luxurious lifestyle. We didn't have a ton of money growing up. We pretty much lived paycheck to paycheck. And in her eyes, that I didn't suffer as much as she did, which is, you know, absolutely could be true. I have no idea what her childhood was like.
Which has nothing to do with...
But it has nothing to do with white privilege. Right. So I tried to, I don't want to say school, but I tried to educate her a little bit on what white privilege was. And she just said her ex brother-in-law or something, ex-cousin, I don't remember, said to her, this is what the block button's for. And she said, oh, I know, I really should. And she did. And I just, you know, at part of me is like, really? Really?
Well, the good thing was your friends would go on and attack her, basically, for...
Not attack, but defend me.
Defend you, right.
They would defend me. But and they, that feels yeah. really good when you have people around you who will come up and say, you know...
No, you're wrong.
This is wrong. What you're saying is wrong. And because when you feel like you're standing up alone, you feel like it's pointless. You feel like what am I going to gain out of this? Because, you know, my anxiety has me on edge all the time. And it has me, you know, saying, just jumping sometimes. And, you know, I get, my heart starts racing and I'm sweaty and I have a stomach ache all of a sudden and it just all hits at once and mm-hmm. I'm so angry and my body is just shaking and I just can't control it. Sometimes I would just lash out. And I would sometimes go back and, you know, say, okay, I shouldn't have said, you know, mm-hmm. fuck 50 times there, maybe.
Right. 'Cause no. She complained about your swearing or something, didn't she?
Yeah. So, I mean, And it feels good to have your friends come out and yeah. support you. And yeah, that was, that validated me a lot.
Right. That what you were saying was not wrong, or you calling her out on something, like she was going off about the NFL and stuff like that. And that was one thing that near the end, that yeah. was probably the thing that's what
tipped her. And she still didn't get it. And that's the part that really bugged me the most. It was, no matter how much I talked, she already had in her mind that my issue was that she wasn't going to watch the Seahawks anymore. And I could give a shit if she watched right. the Seahawks.
Or
I don't
burns
care.
Everything that she owns.
Sure. You go ahead and do it. But I want you to know why it's happening. I want you right. to understand why it's happening. And I want you to understand that you burning their jerseys and you mm-hmm. saying that they are not, that black people are not willing to assimilate, that's racist. And her friend said, oh, she's not racist, she's just patriotic.
Right.
Like,
that's because her husband served and her son served. Still serves, doesn't he?
Yes, he does.
And
that's not to take anything away from them, though.
No, but that's not what this is about. That's what Michael Bennett from the Seahawks, and that's what Colin Kaepernick, and that's what a lot of these people have said. It has nothing to do with disrespecting military personnel at all.
But she is one of those people, and I didn't know it growing up, but my parents would talk about it. She would come into a room and a group of people in a conversation, and she would say something that she knew would get people riled up, and then walk away and just watch explode.
Everybody. Yeah. Didn't she, your father, have battles with her, or was that
no.
his sibling?
With his sibling. But yeah.
Yes. I mean,
I don't
not,
recall
not,
any...
not violent battles.
No. Just lively debates, mm-hmm. say. But I don't remember it being about politics ever, even though okay. they have... My father is one of seven siblings. They have about half and half as to Democrat and Republican. And my father and his older sister, they're the two oldest, and they would really dig in there. But the discussions I remember the most were usually about hockey.
Which is okay, and that could get lively if you're a hockey fan.
If you're a hockey fan, and
especially
Canadian,
if one is Canadian,
yeah,
and one is not. But
so it got. It was during. I mean, it's not important, but that's
no.
What you know, I don't remember
exactly.
necessarily. I'm sure political debates happened, but like I said, we didn't. I don't really remember discussing politics a whole lot. Certainly not as much as we discuss it with our children.
We discuss it, and we have since you and I got together. We've discussed politics.
Yes,
we've always discussed politics and always voted, and we always talk about it with our kids. And you know, obviously we're turning them one way. They can obviously learn. We try to tell them to, you know, listen to different points and stuff, but you know, as they get older, they'll make
well,
their own
right.
minds
you,
up about everything.
You model what you see. So
right.
I mean, our kids are very likely
Mini-me's.
Going to be liberal kids, but we encourage them to
not,
learn
not,
to ask questions.
Yes,
we encourage
not to,
them
not to
ask
watch
questions.
Fox News, though, because that's not even real news.
You know, and we don't watch MSNBC even, which
no.
is biased. I mean,
right?
I don't think that you can. I think that's the difference between a lot of liberals and conservatives, is that conservatives don't see that Fox News. They think Fox News is actually fair and balanced.
Exactly.
Whereas most liberals know that
yes.
MSNBC
even
is
though,
bias.
Even though in other countries, first of all, they pulled out of England or Britain because their fake news did not work. And in Canada, it's considered entertainment. It's not even considered news. They can't call themselves news.
Yeah.
But you had another issue with another aunt, and it's the same thing too.
That was based on the other aunt.
Too.
We have a lot of the same philosophies, which made it weird for me. But her big hang up was my atheism. And I would post about my atheism or share or like something. And then I would see her commenting on atheist pages, like arguing with them. And I'm thinking, you know, she obviously saw this because I did. So anyhow, one of the things that I had liked, I didn't even share it, I just liked it, was a meme about people who say, I hate the sin, not the sinner. Or something along those lines. And she went to my wall and posted, I've never once said that. And I'm like, what? It took me a minute. And then I realized I had liked this thing that had gone by, and I figured it out. And I said, I never said that about you. If you see yourself in something that I've posted, then that's your issue to deal with. That's not right. My issue. If you see yourself in a post that I make and you say that's unfair because it describes me, like, clearly not all Christians believe that gay people are horrible people and don't deserve to be married. Now, I have another aunt who I deleted many moons ago who specifically said that she wouldn't come to my brother's wedding. My brother is a gay man and has been with his partner for 7 years now. Don't plan to get married as far as I know, but they could now, thankfully. Right. And she had said, I will not come to your wedding. And and so I was hurt.
Yeah, exactly.
I was hurt by that. And
more than he was.
Probably more than he was. And I think that I've always...
you take it more to heart, more personal.
Well, you know,
a lot of those, a lot of the LGBT stuff.
Yes. I'm not sure. Maybe it's because I was so closeted for so long that I, you know, felt like I had to. Like, I felt like, and I remember posting at times that I was an ally. I remember saying, you know, I'm an ally, and that's why I post all these LGBT things, because my brother's gay, so I'm an ally. Because it's, you know, it's hard to kind of be out and not out.
Mm-hmm.
And we're so far off topic here, but we talk about my bisexuality at home. You know, certainly not an everyday conversation, but it comes up. And, you know, I think my brother was, this is his story to share, but he was in his, you know, early 20s before he came out to us. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and that was sad to me, especially because I remember having conversations with him. And saying, you know, I remember saying, if we turned out gay, our father would disown us. And I think
about that
now.
Which was the farthest thing from the truth.
The truth. But I remember, you know, like, my mom had a friend.
But at the time, you didn't know that based on things that you heard your father
see, the attitudes, and a lot of it was my mother and what she told us. I think she perceived my father's behavior to be homophobic. My mother said that my father didn't want this other female friend around because she was a lesbian, and you know, it made him uncomfortable. So we perceived this as, you know, Dad doesn't like gay people. And I think that it was more that he was not uncomfortable with her being a lesbian, but not trusting my mother, that wouldn't stray.
Yeah, but you know what? As a human being, unless you're one of these people that really is so trusting in anybody, you could leave me for a man. You could leave me for a woman.
It's interesting to me that your fear is not, your jealousy comes from me being with another man, but not with another woman. And we've had this discussion before, and it goes off on a tangent.
Yeah.
But
I mean, we've got upcoming shows. We're going to talk about bi erasure. We're going to talk about Black Lives Matter, Blue Lives Matter.
Yeah.
I mean, so we got shows that we've touched on a few of these topics tonight, but we're going to talk in depth on a few of them in the coming weeks.
And while we're at it, let's just tell everybody out there, all of our listeners, thank you very much for everybody that downloaded the show last week. That was awesome.
That.
We were so excited to see all these listeners coming up. We were very excited. So make sure that you find us on Facebook. You can just search for our page, The Liberal Couch. And also on Twitter, you can find us. We need to be more active, I think, really.
Yeah, you need to. Since I was kicked off Twitter, I don't want to go on
there. Yeah, he's holding a bit of a grudge against her. But Facebook and Twitter are...
I know. But, so we're on Twitter, too, as...
At The Liberal Couch.
At The Liberal Couch.
So find us on Twitter. Follow us.
Yeah, and you can. We're on all of the pod sites now, podcast sites. You can get us on Google Play, you can get us on iTunes, you can get us on Stitcher, TuneIn. You know, we're at pretty much every place you look.
And reach out. Give us feedback. We want to hear it.
Yeah. So we appreciate you guys listening. And, you know, tell your friends if you find our lively discussion interesting. But anything else that you want to add?
I did want to talk about one thing.
Oh, yeah, sure.
It's just a story that I remember. I was not yet old enough to vote when Bush got reelected.
Right.
So I didn't get to cast my vote, but my mother was dating. My mother has a tendency to just vote for whoever her partner.
Well, you said that she didn't vote. Is that when you were growing up?
Yes. Growing up, I don't remember her ever going out to vote. And it's possible she went and just did it. But I remember my father going, and he may have taken us a few times. But, I mean, my parents were lower middle class.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my parents worked.
Right.
Multiple jobs sometimes. And so, you know, maybe my mom went and we just didn't realize it. But I do remember her, and maybe she didn't vote either, but I remember coming home and she was in the kitchen with her boyfriend at the time. And she told me that she was voting. She was going to vote for Bush because Kerry was going to put on the draft. He said he was going to put the draft on, and she didn't want my brother to be drafted. So I'm pretty sure I told her off at the time, and I told her that, you know, that was ridiculous, and that no president or candidate would ever just outly say, "I'm putting on the draft." Mm-hmm. You know, they wouldn't do that. That would be political suicide.
Putting on the Ritz.
I had an argument with her, and I was very upset that she was voting for Bush. And I remember trying to explain to her why it wasn't a good idea to vote for Bush. And I don't know, maybe she didn't end up voting, but she was with a person who was a dumbass, and she later married and then divorced him.
All right.
So I remember being, I was passionate about politics even, you know, as a teenager.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know. It was,
Well, politics, social issues, which you've, I think, over time
become more
since we've been together even more so. And yes, I've changed a lot. So,
yeah, I remember you telling me that you were independent. You were kind of you were fiscally conservative, and socially liberal.
Yeah,
and that's. No, I think I've pulled you over.
No, I've gone to the other dark
my
side.
Liberal.
I'm liberal. We're not radical liberal. We're sensible liberal.
Sensible? Yeah, I don't know. I just...
It depends. It depends what it is. We both believe in universal health care.
Yeah.
I mean, that's... in a country
Black
that
Lives
can
Matter.
In a country that can spend 57% of its whatever budget military, I think that we can... afford to you know, clothe and feed and take care of our people.
Absolutely. And so many of those homeless are veterans who went and fought and, you know, deal with mental health issues because they don't have decent health care to come back to.
Well, they fix that by allowing them to buy guns.
Oh, yes, that's right. All these homeless people with their...
No, the military or the people that have the mental problems from, especially from, you know, being in the war or whatever military. And
they can have all their...
they can have all the guns they want.
Military style weapons.
Yeah, that's another topic. We've got a lot of topics.
We really could. I know. We said we were going to focus on what we came back to it a little bit. Do you have any other stories that you remember?
No, it was. I don't remember ever discussing politics at all with any family about anything. I do recall, although later on, as an adult, I remember discussing politics with my cousin, but that's because we were both Democrats, so we both were along the same lines. And then my one friend. And his brother, too. We would, every Wednesday, there used to be an outdoor concert. And
Thursday.
And we'd hang out. And a lot of times we'd talk politics. And usually it was local politics. But we'd also talk, national politics. So, yeah, we always discussed that. And that was always fun. And that was these guys that I'm still friends with, that I've been friends with for 30-some years. I mean, it was like 20 years or 15 years into being friends with them that we really discussed politics or religion or anything. Never really discussed it at all. Kind of knew everybody's religious background, but it wasn't until later that, you know, some of them told me like their that they were atheist or didn't believe or anything like that.
Yeah, yeah. I always found it interesting when you would relay the conversation. They never happened in front of me,
mm-hmm.
but the conversations that would happen.
Yeah.
Because it, like specific, your one friend that you were talking about just now,
mm-hmm.
You know, I didn't, he's hard to read. He's a hard character to read. And so I was surprised to mm-hmm. hear the kind of conversations because he's a quiet guy for the most part.
You wouldn't think that he was a deep thinker.
Right. But I think that, you know,
him and his brother, they both were.
Yeah. And, you know, it's difficult for me to get into conversations. You know, I couldn't mm-hmm. sit in a group of right. people and have a conversation like this just because of my anxiety. And I mm-hmm. like to overthink my conversations. Because
you don't want to say something that you're going to regret or somebody's going to make fun of or analyze. Mm-hmm. I did that right. last night. I said something that I probably shouldn't have at your friend's house. And I know she made a comment, but I just let it go because I didn't care.
Oh, the ableist?
Yes, I didn't. I don't know if she used that, but I said something about crazy, and she made a comment or made a face or whatever, and I didn't quite know what it meant, but I knew that it was because of what I said, so so I'm like, I guess I wasn't supposed to say that.
Well, it's not necessarily that she was telling you
no, I got
say
it.
It. She's not about tone policing, but
I get it.
She, you know, it's... I think it's important, though, to... I'm glad that she was comfortable enough to just kind of, you know, clue you in that was an ableist word, and it's not something you should be using. And then she went... She used it later mm-hmm. and corrected herself, too.
Right.
It's not always easy.
Right.
It's not always the easy path that we take, but right. it's worth taking some time so that you don't... Because you don't know the room that you're in, necessarily. You don't know what you're saying and what's right. going to hurt somebody. And wouldn't you rather take the path of not hurting somebody than to intentionally... I mean, unintentionally, obviously, hurt somebody. But...
Yes.
I don't know. It's...
But yes, but it's...
It's growth. It's growth. It takes work.
But like for you, you won't even say anything. You would just as soon not say anything.
I would. If I had been her, I would have just ignored it, and I wouldn't have said anything when she said it either. But
no.
It still comes into my head.
No. Not if you were in her place. You would not have said something that you overthink things to the point where you won't even speak because you're afraid that somebody's going to misinterpret it or you're not going to sound
yes, and that's,
intelligent
but that's bad.
Or whatever it is.
That's
yeah.
bad. I should want to self-crit and I should want to stop and say I can grow from what I say. Mm-hmm. But I'm fragile. Yeah, I'll say it. I'm fragile and it's hard. And I have grown a lot
mm-hmm.
as people do. I mean, you can choose not to grow, I think, but I think a lot of times you're kind of forced through life growing. Right. And, you know, I think it's important to self-crit and to yeah. realize that there's growth that can happen there.
Yeah.
So I'm going to join a feminist book club mm-hmm. and hopefully
you're not going to be the one that gets yelled at because you said the wrong thing.
Well, I hope not, but I will have to get to a place that I am able to listen to the criticism and understand where it's coming from and how it can help me grow.
And as somebody who has taken criticism from people for work that I've done, it is difficult.
It's not easy.
It's difficult.
It's not easy.
It makes you angry sometimes. It upsets you, and you have to just figure out either I'm going to try to do it better next time or I'm going to just let it go and move on.
Yeah. And I mean, part of that is, I mean, you're talking about your work. It's not exactly the same.
No,
it's
a reflection.
No, absolutely. Yeah. And so sometimes you have to look at the mm-hmm. criticism of your work and find the truth. And if you're mm-hmm. uncomfortable because you see the truth in it, then you have to make that effort to change. You have mm-hmm. to make the effort to be better.
Mm-hmm.
If you're mad because that person is, full of shit, then you have to take that and move on, you know?
Right. And the thing is, probably with you too, you don't want to say something unless you know you're right. I've done that before.
Yeah.
I will not participate in a conversation if I'm not 100% sure that I know what I'm talking about and I can back it up.
Yeah. There's a lot of things. When I'm passionate about something, I dig in and I do the research. And when somebody comes to town to argue with me about it, I've got it. Mm-hmm. I know exactly what I'm going to say. I know exactly how I'm going to say it. And usually I know exactly what they're going to say in response. And I know these things because I've researched. Right. So, I mean, it's funny because even having those conversations, though, when I know, I'll be specific. I was talking about circumcision with somebody and I've done my research. I know a lot about circumcision. And even when somebody's coming to me from a place of question.
And you're an anti-circ person, just so to make that.
We do not cut healthy body parts off of baby boys because we like a cut cock. Sorry, it doesn't work that
because
way.
Because daddy's got one.
So, I mean, if you... Whatever. Yeah. So when I come to a conversation with somebody who is questioning and I don't know, you know, where they lie that, you know, which side of the fence they're on. Sometimes they're on the fence. And so I start to get shaky and I can kind of feel the anxiety building in me. And I think it comes out as nervousness. I don't really know how it sounds to others, but I can feel it in my voice. Like my passion is there and I'm just trying to hold it in so I don't look like, you know, some kind of silly person who's, you know, obsessed.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But, and I remember having a specific conversation with somebody who had circumcised her child and, her son, I should say. And, you know, came questioning, not, you know, she didn't come at it like it was something that she knew was right in the time and she was perfectly happy with it. And any other children that she had, they would be circumcised. It wasn't like that. It was more like, I did this because my partner at the time was, and you know, that's what I thought was normal. And those are the people who, when you talk to them, you should be able to be confident and say, you know, here's the facts. And you know, but it's still hard for me to have those conversations.
Speaking of facts, we're talking about facts. Yes. I didn't even know what circumcision was until I was in my
20s. Yeah.
Because I never learned any of that. I was never taught that at home. Yeah. I had no idea. I didn't know that I was circumcised.
Well, yeah.
Oh, my God. I just gave it away. But I didn't even know. I didn't know the difference. I didn't know that there was a difference. Yeah. And it's just...
Because we're not taught... proper body anatomy.
Right, and the Republican agenda doesn't want the young people to know anything. They want them to be fucking stupid, so they'll just continue
to
vote.
So they can brainwash them.
Yes, so they continue to vote idiot. And you know, it's horrible, but that's really what it is. And that's not how I grew up. I mean, that's not what it was. It was just that in my house, we didn't talk about sex. We didn't talk about anything. I had a friend when I was... 10 years old who could ask his mother anything, and I said I always want to be that parent that, you know, if my kid comes and says what's a blowjob, you know, we can explain what a blowjob is without having to show him a porn video, you know. And I wanted to be that parent.
Yeah.
And I think we're trying to be the, you know, those parents now.
Yeah, I would like to think that we're those parents.
Our kid still hides stuff for us. He doesn't tell us everything, but we're still open, and we always tell him, you can always tell us anything.
Yeah. It's hard, I think, to know what you want to be and then to put it into practice. It's hard to take that, you know, we talk about it. We do it all the time, but he's going to find out from his peers what is normal. And, if his peers tell him it's gross to talk to his friends or talk to his parents about sex, then that is probably the direction he's going to take and our daughter's going to take. And I hope to do everything we can to combat that, but we can only do so much.
Right. Anyhow, I think that's a good place to end this show.
Okay.
So I hope you guys enjoyed it and hope you turn into, if you didn't hear our show last week, check it out. And, tune in. We're going to try and do it once a week. I mean, I was ready to do it in the middle of the week because we had topics to talk about. So it's not necessarily going to be every week. There could be one in between, depending on what we feel like doing.
How riled up we get.
Yeah. I try to avoid the news, but maybe if something comes up that really gets me going, we'll do another show.
Yeah, I think we should do a show about Harvey Weinstein and the Me Too.
Yeah, I don't know a lot about that, so you'll have to educate me on that. I do know a little bit about Harvey.
Well, but, you know about sexual assault, so.
I do, because I was assaulted. But no, I wasn't. I just.
It's not even funny to joke about.
I wasn't. But that's why I said, I don't know why you said I know about sexual assault.
Though. Because everybody knows. Everybody knows.
Not really.
What do you mean, not really?
People don't know. What do you think? Do you ever watch Law and Order with me? We watch Law and Order. There are people that have what they think is consensual sex. It happens all the time.
You know, Law and Order is a TV show. Right?
Yes, but it's,
no, I understand what you're saying.
Yes, there's not a everybody between... knows what sexual assault is. Am I right?
I'm sorry. It's just really depressing that you just said that.
I know, but people don't. And anyhow, that's another story. Another story for another time. My name is Frankie.
And I'm Sydney.
And this
check
is the
us out.
Yep, this is Liberal Couch. Check us out. Where?
Twitter, @TheLiberalCouch. Or you can find us on Facebook. Just search for our page, The Liberal Couch.
All right, thanks. And you guys have a great week.